Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the whatever of free speech, because I just say whatever's on my mind. Right now, what's on my mind? I guess my mind is where's my dog leash? I don't know. It's a dog leash of free speech because it keeps you attached to reality. Our free speech is reality in a world of complete and utter nonsense. It really is. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. Okay, so this is a show we do once a month called Boomer Fragilisticexpialidocious.
Boomer Califragilisticexpialidocious.
That's right, that's right. And it is a joint collaboration. But, of course, Andy's already explained that, so you can, if you want the explanation, listen to Andy's version of this show on the Rent Radio Network. Because Republic Broadcasting shows are a little bit shorter, that gets cut off on this one. So, we have with us Andy Hitchcock and Mark Dankoff, and we're going to get started, and we're going to talk about a few things, and then whatever. So the first thing is Vladimir Putin, the real president of the world, he gave a speech. Well, he doesn't. I mean, it's not like he's trying to rule the world, but he's the real president in our hearts, okay? And he gave a speech within, the past 24 hours. What did he talk about?
Mark, do you want to take that one?
Yes, I thought that Sputnik gave a good synopsis in English of what President Putin actually said. I think the two significant things, one is that the so-called START Treaty, the Strategic Arms Reduction Talks, that was the last, remaining operational nuclear treaty between the United States and Russia. And it was the United States, of course, that had pulled out of the ABM treaty and the INF treaty. This time, Mr. Putin was explaining that the START treaty, which was basically hammered out between his predecessor, Dmitry Medvedev, and Barack Obama, that the Russians were not withdrawing from the treaty, simply suspending participation in it. Do with that what you will. I think Mr. Putin recognizes at this particular juncture that with everything that has happened just in with these NATO expansions since the late 90s and the bombing of Serbia and now, of course, all of the things that have gone into this Ukrainian war, that it was clear that he felt and feels, and I frankly agree with him, that the Russian trust in the United States to keep its word, any Russian trust in these NATO countries that are aligned with the United States to have any semblance of integrity whatsoever in regard to any of these attempts at diplomatic dialogue. He clearly has largely given up on all of that for, I think, some very, very good reasons. And as Andy was saying before the show began, in this speech, which was called Putin's address to the so-called Federal Assembly, that Putin was rehearsing the entire history of so many of these diabolical things that have happened up to this point, that is his justification for suspending, not withdrawing from, but suspending for at least now Russian participation in the so-called START Treaty. The thing that's interesting is that, and I'll mention this, and then we can get on to whatever. I would recommend to people that they take a look at Brian Berletic's latest effort for the new Atlas, which came out yesterday, because Brian Berletic, from a Western perspective, was pointing out all of these different things that basically dovetail with what Putin said in this speech to the Federal Assembly. And in Brian Berletic's latest video for the new Atlas, Brian was giving us a glimpse at a rather lengthy speech, or an excerpt of a lengthy speech that General Wesley Clark made, I believe, in 2007. Now, many of us are familiar with the fact that General Wesley Clark had said years ago that it was a NATO and an American military plan to engage in regime change in seven different countries. But in this excerpt that Brian Berletic put into his own video with a new Atlas on Wes Clark expanding upon all of this. It was quite fascinating to listen to, because Wes Clark is basically indicating that he didn't know about any of this, and one day it was sprung on him after he was off of active duty and was just dropping in on a couple of old friends for a chat. And Wes Clark said a number of things that basically, if he is to be believed, and I'll accept what the general says at face value here, Wes Clark was in this excerpt of this speech that Berletic puts up there so we can see what the general had to say about this 15 or 16 years ago. Wes Clark was expressing his own amazement at this, and basically pointing out that this kind of a regime change strategy was something that was basically being slipped in on the American people without it being explained to them what was going on. And clearly he was underscoring that they obviously had not been consulted on any of this. Neither was there any American public vote of affirmation for what was a sea change in truth in what had been the originally stated purpose of NATO. Back when the United States first became a part of NATO, and this gets into one other thing I'll just mention passing quickly. I've been rereading a lot of the materials related to the late Senator Robert Taft of Ohio and all of the things that he said about the dangers of NATO prior to his death in 1953. And Robert Taft, Senator Robert Taft of Ohio, looks even more prophetic now than ever in regard to the fact that, lo, these many years later, lo, these 70-some-odd years later, he's been proven exactly right in terms of where this NATO organization would take the United States in terms of a foreign policy of militarism and constant interventionism. And I think this is basically what we have now witnessed, that any pretensions of NATO to be a purely defensive military alliance are out the window. NATO is an instrument of aggression. It's an instrument of militarism. It is an instrument in the attempt to impose upon the Russians and upon virtually everyone else a world government, with NATO as the military enforcement arm of this world government that in effect will be run by the cabal. We all know what I'm referring to there, the cabal that Wesley Clark, in this speech that Brian Berletic of the New Atlas ran an excerpt of yesterday in his own production, that Wes Clark was mentioning, you know, people like Paul Wolfowitz in this speech. And we all know, in terms of our own understanding of the wider context of Paul Wolfowitz, and General Clark mentioned the Project for the New American Century in his speech, that Wolfowitz and the Project for the New American Century leads us to Robert Kagan, leads us to Victoria Nuland, in all of these other people, including Blinken now, and including the current United States ambassador to the UN, who these people are all neocons, and they're all part of this wider cabal. So this is where we are. And I think Vladimir Putin has gotten a major dose of reality in these last 8 or 9 years as to who these people are, what they represent, the rules that they play by, which are a rules-based international order where this cabal determines the rules, and it's kind of a heads-we-win, tails-you-lose proposition. So that's kind of where we are with the Putin speech, I think, and it's gives us an even greater sense of foreboding, I think, than we've had up to this point as to just how bad this whole circumstance is becoming.
Okay, well, just any thoughts, Andy, before I share some fun facts?
Well, I mean, you know, Mark summed it up brilliantly. My position with Putin, I say this because I have an audience. I look at I can be quite conspiratorial and is he playing a role, things like that. Increasingly, I live in hope that he is actually standing up for us. I was hearing another person that I follow, Mitchell Henderson, on the Jeff Wrench show. He does pretty much every Monday for an hour and it's brilliant. He is has great analysis on this subject, been following it for months. And he believes that this is a war between good and evil, and essentially you've got Putin standing up for God and Christianity, and you've got the West on the side of Satan. And whether you're religious or not, I don't think that's really relevant here. If you look at the values that Russia pushes compared with the values that are not we personally push, or, you know, the norm is in the street necessarily push in the West, it's what's pushed on us to the extent that if some of us in certain countries speak out against what's being forced upon us, we could be prosecuted. And this is simply unacceptable. So from my perspective, I hope that Vladimir Putin is genuine in what he's saying. And if he is, he clearly is on the side of good. I'm with morality, decency, tradition, honour and moral values. And that's what he claims to represent. So long as that is the case, then I am with Vladimir Putin. Back to you, Patrick.
Good. Yeah. I remember a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I was doing a show with Mark Collett. It was, I think it was the Monday before this all started. And there had been a lot of talk about, oh, Russia's going to invade. And Mark didn't seem to think Russia was going to invade. And I wasn't sure. I didn't know. But I said, I don't think they're going to invade. But if they do invade, I stand with Vladimir Putin. I remember I said that. Because I think he is on, whether he's consciously doing this for good, you know, like good as a Christian would think of good, or simply whether he's trying to represent the interests of the Russian people. I think the interests of the Russian people and good as a Christian would think of good, there's a considerable overlap there. They are very much. Yeah. Yeah, those Venn diagrams would have an awful lot of overlap. Hey, fun fact, Wesley Clark, his father was Jewish, and his birth name is Wesley Kane. His current name is Wesley Kane Clark, and I mean, I'm getting this. I remember 20 years ago when he was running for president, I'm pretty sure I heard him say it's not just that his father was Jewish, but his father was an Orthodox Jew, which is kind of weird because his mother, I believe, he's from Arkansas, and I thought his mother was from Arkansas. Maybe she simply moved the family to Arkansas, but so this is just from Wikipedia. So let's see, from Wikipedia, Clark's father's family was Jewish. Jacob Kane and Ida Goldman immigrated to the United States from Belarus/the Russian Empire in response to the Pale of Settlement and anti-Jewish violence from Russian pogroms. And not only so that Kane, that the name Kane came from the Cohen family line. How about that? And Clark's son has characterized Clark's parents' marriage between his Methodist mother and his Jewish father as about as multicultural as you could have gotten in 1944. So anyway, fun fact. What else? Okay, so the START Treaty. You know, when I hear the START Treaty, I'm thinking of Ronald Reagan. And I guess that Ronald Reagan Ronald Reagan had this big nuclear scare in around 1985, I think it was. Maybe plus or minus a few months, but around that, it could have been 84, maybe 85, there was some incident where NORAD just do the nuclear missiles or is the fighter jets there in NORAD too? Is that how it is?
I think it's both, and I know that they have recently added a new division of NORAD that shoots down weather balloons.
Right. Well, the nuclear jets were scrambled or whatever you call that, in response to some unknown entity that was penetrating American airspace and a decision on going to nuclear war within the next, you know, 15 minutes had to be made. And as it turned out, I don't know if Ronald Reagan ever had to make the decision or what, or if he found out about it after the fact. But I believe the unidentified object was a flock of geese or something like that. It was just something happened that really, really scared Ronald Reagan. And he thought, we've got to do something about this. And his entire attitude towards arms control and towards negotiations and relations with the Soviet Union really did a 180. And of course, this was at during his first term. His counterparts had been these elderly Soviets on their deathbed, respectively Brezhnev, and then Andropov, and then Chernyenko, who were like spent most of the first term of Reagan. The Russian leader, the Soviet leader, was literally a walking corpse. So in his second term, his counterpart was Mikhail Gorbachev, and they started negotiations on this START treaty, which wound up getting signed in 1991. START, Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty. Now, in the 70s, there had been the two Strategic Arms Limitations Treaties.
The SALT Treaty, yes.
Right, the SALT Treaties. The first one under Nixon, and which came into force. The second one, under Carter, which never was ratified by the United States Senate, but even though it was never ratified, both sides followed it. So now apparently the START had like a 20-year period to it, and so what you're referring to is the New START Treaty or the START Again Treaty, something like that. But that's the one that has been, that it was from 2011, as you correctly pointed out, between Medvedev, who was then the seat warmer for Putin, who had been term limited out of office, and so that has been suspended. And this is the thing: I think this is so Putin, not that he's walked away from the treaty like George Bush walked away from. Which one did George Bush walk away from? Oh, the ADM treaty,
yes,
which was an early Nixon treaty, the anti-ballistic missile treaty. He walked away from that. And did Trump walk away from the IMF treaty, the INF treaty, which was a Reagan-Gorbachev treaty? Putin's not walking away from simply suspending it. I think it's very Putin-like to be cautious, to try to hold out the possibility of negotiations. Remember, Putin was the only party involved in the Minsk Accord negotiations who was negotiating in good faith. He was the only one. Everyone else involved in it has come out and said, we didn't have any good intentions. We were only negotiating to buy time to build up the military so that we could attack Russia. Yeah, they both said that, right? Merkel and, well, they don't say to attack Russia, but to fight Russia. Merkel and Hollande and Poroshenko, they've all said that. Putin was the only person who was negotiating in good faith. Okay, any thoughts on this before we move to the next topic, which would be the anti-war demonstration?
I
was just going to say on the cultural front, and then we can discuss the Rage Against the War Machine rally. Andy's points on Putin and culture, Putin and morality are especially well taken when you look at these ranting anti-Putin rantings and ravings on CNN that a night or two ago. I'm going through some of that, and right next to that there was a major article in CNN on ethical non-monogamy, which basically was endorsing all kinds of sexual perversion of various stripes as long as these committed partners in a committed relationship were ethically open with one another about all the things they wanted to do sexually with other people. So that underscores what you're dealing with in terms of Western coverage of Putin. And at this particular point, I guess we're on to the Rage Against the War Machine rally in D.C.
All right. So this Rage Against, this is the first anti-war. And when I say anti-war, I mean anti-American involvement in the war. Because somebody could say, what do you mean anti-war? Russia invaded Ukraine, which is technically true. But it was after massive, not just massive provocation, but it was after the 2014, which everybody agrees on, that 2014 coup was a coup. There's no doubt that that President Viktor Yanukovych
makes the world go away. Say the things you used to say.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
And make the world go away.
Which everybody agrees on, that 2014 coup was, it was a coup. There's no doubt that that President Viktor Yanukovych had to flee. He had to flee in the face of a mob. And that mob had been supported visibly and actively by Victoria Nuland. You know, she could say, "Oh, well, I was only there handing out bagels." But I mean, she not only was she there on multiple occasions in the mob supporting it, but also, I mean, there were published pictures from, what was it, from The Guardian, I believe, before the overthrow, where she's meeting with the people who took power after the overthrow with she was meeting with Poroshenko, with Arseniy Yatsenyuk, and with the Kiev mayor, Vladimir Klitschko. Yeah. I mean, they're two brothers. I can't remember which is which. But Klitschko, the taller of the two heavyweight champions. And she's meeting with him. And then, of course, there's also the phone call, which not only did she deny, but she effectively confirmed by handing out I heart the EU buttons to her staff. She was a cell phone call between her and the American ambassador to Kiev, Gregory Piat, who had gone with her on many of these escapades into the mob. They were discussing who they thought should be the new leaders of post-coup Ukraine. And this is before the coup had happened. And the people that she wanted got in, and the people that she didn't want in the central government didn't get in. So, I mean, we have all this. The idea that this was anything other than a U.S.-backed coup in 2014 is just ridiculous. And since the 2014, what happened the next day? You had the Ukrainian parliament meets, and they stripped cultural and language rights from Russian speakers. And they spent the next 8 years bombarding the Donbass, Donetsk and Lugansk. So, I mean, maximum provocation. I don't mean to rehash this because our listeners know almost all these facts, so I don't want to spend a lot of time belaboring that. But this is the first anti-war demonstration of any significance in the United States. And I saw pictures. It wasn't, I mean, honestly, the attendance wasn't that great. I wish I had been there. Because the thing is, the speakers, these were prominent people. So we had, at least four presidential candidates, former presidential candidates there, you know, three of whom had served in Congress. And, you know, other well-known people were there. It would have been a great opportunity to go up to people, go up to Medea Benjamin and say, hey, Mark Dankoff sends his regards.
Yeah. We never burn bridges. That's right.
We don't burn bridges. So some of the speakers included Dennis Kucinich, who was a mayor of Cleveland, congressman from Ohio, and presidential candidate in the Democratic primaries in 2004, where he was going up against Wesley Clark. He was there. He made a speech that impressed Dr. Duke so much that he was playing excerpts on his show yesterday. Ron Paul made a speech. Tulsi Gabbard made a speech, and I haven't heard her speech, but Dr. Duke was enthusiastic about it. And, you know, these are all people who ran and made waves in Democratic or Republican primaries. Of course, Ron Paul also had run as a Libertarian in the 1988 election. And then you had, didn't Jill Stein make a speech? And she, got a fair amount of votes, especially in the 2016 presidential election. Got a fair number of votes there. So you had high-profile people, and then the comedian Jimmy Dore. So this was, so it was mostly, you know, we mostly leftists. And I guess Medea Benjamin, and I think Medea Benjamin had been in, was she under pressure to pull out because Ron Paul was going to be there, and Ron Paul doesn't support Medicare? And, you know, if you're on the verge of World War III, that really should be a priority rather than somebody's stance on Medicare reform. You know, well, I'd like to save the world from nuclear Armageddon, but that guy wants to reform Medicare. I kick it over to you guys. Who wants to start first?
Well, I guess I'll simply say this. I don't want to hit the participants in this Rage Against the War Machine rally too hard. I would have the most use for Ron Paul, of course, and Tulsi Gabbard and Dennis Kucinich. I have less regard for some of the other people who were there, but I observed on V Contacta several things. Number one, we've seen these kinds of anti-war efforts before. This sort of thing coming out of Medea Benjamin apparently is an indication of the ongoing failure of these attempts to get American left and right together in a true prioritized anti-war movement. The other thing I observed on V Contacta is that the ultimate character of the cabal that is behind all of this is Wes Clark basically admitted in this speech that Brian Berletic of the New Atlas read an excerpt from on his video yesterday. The nature of this cabal is never identified by the Jill Steins and the Medea Benjamins of the world. Many of these same people who rail allegedly against war and against NATO-inspired wars are people who don't necessarily have any problems with a cultural war or against Putin.
Any time you're feeling lonely, any time you're feeling blue,
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
Many of these same people who rail allegedly against war and against NATO-inspired wars are people who don't necessarily have any problems with a cultural war or against Putin that is supported by this particular cabal that Wes Clark was making reference to in his speech of 2007, without stepping into the next realm of using a certain word that would really identify these people. And it seems to me that reveals the basic weakness of these anti-war efforts, these anti-neocon efforts, where the character of the neoconservative movement and the people who are really behind it and why is never identified by 98% to 99% of these folks. That would even include Ron Paul. And in this regard, I think we need to be very clear that there is a cabal behind this, that there is a particular element that is disproportionately represented in this power cabal, including the funding for it and the organization for it, that the cultural Marxist, culturally Marxist wars that have been raged against the people of the United States, as well as Vladimir Putin, that is virtually never touched on by these people, for what I think are some very, very clear reasons. And when you want to get into some of the basic fraud that is really behind all of this, Dr. E. Michael Jones, who in the UNS Review, of course, addresses the outlandish listing of Jones in this FBI report on traditional Catholics, inspired by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which the FBI was working with, even though it supposedly gave up on that in 2008. The character of the Southern Poverty Law Center is never identified by too many people, when these outrages emerge. E. Michael Jones, of course, has very definitely identified these people, which is why he's on this FBI list. At the same time that Dr. E. Michael Jones has spoken so forthrightly about what happened in Iran in late 2014, when Gareth Porter, a Jew who is very prominently displayed in the anti-war movement, appearing in everything from antiwar.com to occasionally the American Conservative and so forth and so on, that Porter was working undercover with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith to ensure that certain people, including yours truly, were somehow disqualified from this conference in Iran, this New Horizons conference that I and a few others had been invited to, had accepted invitations to, had applied legitimately for visas to. When the visas didn't show up for certain people, it should not be, it should not escape notice. And E. Michael Jones covers this in detail in the December 2014 Culture Wars in a cover story on the New World Order, which shows Gareth Porter on the cover, and it shows a certain broadcasting host at Press Television Iran with him, that in this instance, that the whole character of this so-called anti-war movement and anti-Zia war against Iran movement that appeared in Iran made sure that people who really identified this cabal by name, that people who emphasized other things like the culture wars and like Israel's role in 9/11, Israel's role in the Pollard spy case, Israel's role in the Kennedy assassination, Israel's role in the Levant affair, and all of these other things, Israel's role in the New Mech, Apollo, Pennsylvania nuclear materials theft, all of these other things, that these folks who would talk openly about these things were disqualified from appearing at this so-called anti-war rally in Iran, or this anti-war symposium that some of us had been invited to, then mysteriously didn't get our visas approved, only to find out later when it came out publicly that Gareth Porter was behind this, and that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith had been working with Porter behind the scenes in all of this. Porter subsequently trashed the Iranians, even though they had paid his way to this conference and he had spoken there. This is the kind of trash that always seems to lurk around these things. And again, getting back to this rage against the war machine thing in D.C. on Sunday, you know, I have, again, respect for Ron Paul and Tulsi Gabbard and Dennis Kucinich. Don't misunderstand me. And yet, the fundamental weaknesses in the so-called anti-war movement in the United States always get into the failure of most of these people either to recognize or, if they do know about it, to talk about the who is this neoconservative cabal? What is the nature of this neoconservative movement? Murray Friedman has written a major piece, a major volume, a major book on who it is that's really behind this neoconservative movement and the wider implications of it. And until we start getting down to brass tacks on those issues, this anti-war movement in the United States and these rallies are nothing more than ineffective theater.
Well, in fairness, virtually everyone and every segment of American political life has the exact same failing, right? I mean, yes. And I'd like to talk about that some, but Andy, what do you think?
Well, I've been having a look at something, just to rewind to the Soviet Union quickly, because this will only take a couple of minutes. I've got a few things I've tried to put together here while we've been I've been listening to what you've been discussing. Now, when you look at the Soviet, you have to separate Soviet Union from Russia today. Okay, the Soviet Union was a communist hellhole, but let's have a look at its leaders. So you had Lenin came in 1922, lasted 2 years. Then Stalin became the longest, came in 24, lasted 31 years. Malenkov, Blinken, you'll miss him, just came in and went out in 53, and was replaced by Khrushchev, who lasted 11 years till 64. And then Brezhnev went on to be the second longest serving Soviet Union president from 64 to 82, 18 years. And then we had what became a bit of a running joke with a satirical program in the UK called Spitting Image, which had puppets of politicians and famous people. And incidentally, in America, it was syndicated as DC Follies. So you may remember that, both of you. It ran from 87 to 89. So it would be puppets of politicians and what have you. And I remember... Go ahead.
I vaguely remember it, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I was trying to find, there was this one sketch. It's a bit distasteful, but after Brezhnev went and Andropov lasted a couple of years and Chernyenko only a year, and there's actually a reference to Spitting Image here. Chernyenko was featured on Spitting Image as he appeared in the media at the time, sick and already with one foot in the grave. In one memorable sketch, other Soviet party members go to the refrigerator in the Kremlin to fetch a cold drink. Inside, Chernyenko is kept between all the other deep freeze products. Now, anyway, this Spitting Image show had they did a sort of spoof advert for an album of Soviet Union presidential funeral music that you could buy, and they had, remember that classic, Andropov gets a cold, Andropov gets better, the sniffles again, and okay, he's dead. So of course he went on to be replaced by Chernyenko, who was then replaced by Mikhail Gorbachev, who fortunately presided over the end of the communist atheistic hellhole and its development into the Christian Russia we know today. But I have found a sketch for you. Now, this is only 19 seconds long. It's YouTube, so we'll just see how it comes out. So this is something about Reagan, apparently. So let's see how this comes out. Coming up right now.
First, we put Evercell batteries into one president and ordinary zinc carbon batteries into the others. In this continuous test, Evercell batteries lasted four times as long and still went on working. See, his cheeks are still alight and burning as brightly as ever before. Evercell.
So that was President Ronald Reagan running on Evercell batteries, which outlasted three Russian presidents, as we know, during his time in office. So I just thought I'd throw that curveball in, Patrick. I hope I haven't ruined your show.
No, you haven't ruined it at all. And I'm going to show for Mikhail Gorbachev. You know, the Soviet Union, people tend to confuse the Berlin Wall and the end of the Soviet Union. Actually, there was over 2 years in between. And so the Soviet Union ended at the end of December, end of 1991. And what was going on in the Soviet Union in 1991, in the Soviet Union, not in post-Soviet Russia, in the Soviet Union, while, you know, Gorbachev was trying to hold it together? Well, you had very meaningful multi-party contested elections, right? You had a hell of a lot more freedom of speech in the last year of the Soviet Union than we have today. And so, you know, the thing is, when you've got somebody like Vladimir Putin who will bemoan the breakup of the Soviet Union, the Soviet Union, when it broke up, it was maybe an economic recession, but it really wasn't a communist hellhole. Mikhail Gorbachev was no longer the leader of the Communist Party. I don't know if he had formally resigned from the Communist Party, but it was no longer a communist dictatorship. When it broke up, the power had been moved from the Communist Party to the state apparatuses, you know, to a parliament, which was elected. And you had an election for president of the Soviet Union, which was scheduled. The Gorbachev had been elected by the Russian parliament, but the next election was scheduled and it was going to be a popular vote. Anyway, so I'm shilling for Gorbachev and I'm shilling for the Soviet Union. But getting back to Mark's point, so if you go to a rally like this, and I went to a lot of peace rallies that were kind of like this in 20 years ago, and they tended to be organized mainly by leftists, often by open communists, but you also had very noteworthy libertarian contingency and other groups that you would say were to the right that were involved in the organization and attendance of these rallies. And of course, they're going to be talking about the military industrial complex. There are all of these prepackaged narratives explaining all of the things that we know are are wrong in the United States and in the world. And there are these prepackaged narratives explaining how it's, well, something else. And if you were talking to Medea Benjamin or Dennis Kucinich, although I've got some hopes for Dennis Kucinich and his very beautiful wife, if you're talking to these people or Jimmy Dore, they're going to be talking about the corporate power and the military-industrial complex and whatnot. And if you're talking to the people who identify a lot of the same problems, but they're considered on the right, you know, like Alex Jones, what is, you know, it's the globalists and it's the deep state. And there are these boogeymen. And nobody talks about what's really going on, which is Jewish power. And here's a thought that I'm going to throw out this thought and see what you all think about it. So in a situation where you cannot identify the actual cause of these problems, and of course, one particular problem is this war in Ukraine, which could become a civilization-ending nuclear Armageddon, which is kind of a big deal. It's kind of a priority. If we may be able to avert the civilization-ending nuclear Armageddon, we may be able to avert it through demonstrations where we're not naming Jewish power, but we're uniting Greens and libertarians and conspiracy theorists and communists, none of whom particularly want to see civilization end, arguably. But we may be able to avert a crisis, but we're still going to have Jewish power. And so it's going to just be going from one crisis to another. You know, we can finally get over the corona apocalypse. We can finally, you know, avert one crisis, but we're just going to go right to the next because these crises, these huge problems that we're identifying, for the most part, could not happen if you did not have Jewish power. It's not as if there's nobody else involved. Jewish power is not sufficient to do all this on its own, but it is necessary. None of these things, like this war in Ukraine as an example, would not have happened if it wasn't for Jewish power. And so that's the thing. And the few people who are willing to talk about Jewish power, we're just relegated to the Arctic fringes of RBN and the Rents Broadcasting Network. What do you guys say?
Well, I'll jump in quickly. Just I'm going to include a link in the post for this show. I think we read through some of it last week, and that is from jewishvirtuallibrary.org, which has the list of Jews in the Biden administration, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And I've mentioned on another show, the only regime I can equate it to is the first Soviet regime. And that's something that Winston Churchill talked about in his famous article, Zionism versus Bolshevism, that was published in the Illustrated Sunday Herald in 1920. And when I see the anti-white nature and how white supremacy is the biggest worry for the security services in the United States, which is complete poppycock, you can see how in the past, when you've had administrations that were dominated by this element, like the Soviet Union that Winston Churchill told us about in that article, we went on to see the slaughter of millions of white Christian Russians that Alexander Solzhenitsyn told us all about in some of his later works. And that's why I fear for my friends in the United States, because of the makeup of this Biden regime. And as has been pointed out on the show today, it was Victoria Nuland, who's married to Robert Kagan, both Jewish, who was instrumental in this 2014 coup in the Ukraine. She was picking people like, I think Patrick's covered it a few times, there was actually conversations uncovered where they were talking about if Klitschko would be mayor and, you know, just deciding who was going to fill what position. But we never had anything in the Western media about, oh, you know, someone's overthrowing the Ukraine back then. No, they weren't concerned about that coup in 2014. But as soon as Russia went in to stop the Ukrainians from slaughtering Russian people in the Donbass, and they killed 14,000 ever since 2014, which many in the independent media still say Putin should have acted sooner, and I believe that he should, but things are where they are, he's acting now. But there was no protest in Western media when Ukrainians were making it illegal to speak Russian in the Ukraine. Imagine if we made it illegal in America to, say, speak Indian, or to speak any sort of other language. How about we made it illegal to speak Mexican because they wanted all the Americans to speak English?
English.
Yeah. You know, it would be like... Yeah, you wouldn't hear the end of it. You'd have every left-wing organisation, this is racism. So people have to look out for the double standard. And the West sat idly by when they said it was a crime to speak Russian in that country. And they did nothing. So if that doesn't show that they had a predetermined hatred of Russia, then I don't know what does. Sorry, Patrick, back to you.
Yeah, and, you know, the Russian was removed as an official language. And Russian, I don't know if speaking Russian per se was outlawed, but Russian language education and Russian as an official language were banned. And the thing is, in I think every city except for Lvov, the main language is Russian. Ukrainian, I guess, is like, you know, it's like a country bumpkin dialect. And Zelensky, he's not a native Ukrainian speaker; he's a native Russian speaker. And a very, very pro-Ukrainian professor. Oh, what was that guy's name? I was talking about him all last autumn from Yale University. The guy's name slips my mind, but I was listening to him, and he's a big shot. He was over there.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Said a hound couldn't catch him down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
A very, very pro-Ukrainian professor. Oh, what was that guy's name? I was talking about him all last autumn from Yale University. The guy's name slips my mind, but I was listening to him, and he's a big shot. And he was over there in the middle of the semester last autumn talking to Zelensky. So he's a real big deal. I can't remember his name. Maybe I'll remember it before the end of the show. But, you know, he was saying how much better Zelensky's Ukrainian has gotten since he became president. I mean, it's not a secret. He didn't speak Ukrainian initially. Julia Tymoshenko was very pretty former prime minister of Ukraine. She had the iconic braids wrapped around her head. Maybe you remember her. She had to learn Ukrainian as prime minister of Ukraine. So that's all bizarre. But yeah, so the point that we may be able to put out fires here and there without getting at the root of the issue, which is Jewish power. But we're going to continue to get fires here and there as long as until we confront the issue of Jewish power. And I'd like to confront it honestly, not with rancor, not with animosity, but just with accuracy and honesty. That's what I'd like to do. Not very many people are willing to even broach the issue. Mark.
Well, I think you guys have summed it up quite well. And again, I'll ask the same question rhetorically that I have asked in previous encounters on previous shows, both in this country and abroad. How and why does a Jewish drag queen comedian suddenly become the president of an Orthodox Christian country that subsequently finds itself at war with another Orthodox Christian country that has clearly been targeted by this cabal running the American government and the EU governments and NATO and everything else in the Western world, it would seem. And that targeting of Mr. Putin's Russia is precisely because they are in a post-Bolshevik period, and because the renaissance of Russian Orthodox Christian culture in that country is the basis of a nationalism in Russia that is most resistant to the imposition of global homo and the new world order and the world government that would enforce all of that, that is chiefly a part and parcel of what is an overwhelmingly American and Western European and increasingly global Jewish power structure, where the dimensions of this showdown between Putin's Russia and potentially the Iranians and the Chinese on one side and the West on the other, this is taking on religious dimensions in a way that would suggest that perhaps we are looking, especially in terms of biblical eschatology, of what is likely to be an inevitable showdown leading to the last conflict of world history, military conflict of world history. That remains to be seen, but that's certainly the direction I think this thing is headed in. And these Rage Against the War Machine rallies are trying to fight, even with the best of intentions, are trying to fight a global forest fire with a squirt gun.
Well, thank you very much. Andy, I think, are we just about out of time for my show, at least?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think you want to wrap it up.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Jewel Radio.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.